Well, y'all look like you've had a good day, and I have too. And I'm glad to share with you a little bit about prayer. It's going to be just a brief little testimony of prayer. Let me share a verse to start off with. It's John 15:7. It's one of the verses that we talked briefly about this morning. It says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be given you." It's another verse on abiding. And Jesus says, abide in me, and if my word abides in you, then you can ask. Now, you know, a lot of people like answers to prayer without those first two things happening. And it just doesn't really work that way. As we abide in Christ, as He becomes our all in all, as we sang about this morning, and as His word abides in our heart, that's our choice to let that happen. That doesn't happen automatically. That happens day by day as we open His Word and meditate on it and pray over it and study it. As His Word abides in our heart, then He says we can ask what we will and it shall be done, because we're on such the same frequency with Jesus. And His thoughts are our thoughts, and His desires are our desires. And as we shared another verse this morning, delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, because everything becomes one. Our heart, His life in us is our life. And so, you know, that's just a little preparatory statement. Now, you know, I really struggled sharing a testimony on prayer, because it really... You may get the idea when you hear a few of these stories that I've really kind of got it together in prayer. And I want you to tell, I'm a real pilgrim here on a journey, and I don't know a whole lot about it. I'm learning a few things, but I don't know a whole lot about it yet. But praise God, I'm learning. So that's my disclaimer. And, you know, this side of heaven, we're always, always going to be learners. And if you stop learning, then you're in big trouble. So that's my disclaimer on prayer, but I'm really glad to get to share for a few minutes with you. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." And I want to share with you an Ephesians 3:20 answer to prayer. And I really struggled thinking of the ones to share, but I want to start with this one. When I was a sophomore in college, I think I mentioned this morning, I read Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. And when I read that book, God touched my heart with the world. And I began to pray for China. And not every day, certainly, and there were times, long gaps, where there wasn't a lot of prayer. But God laid the world on my heart. Following college, I spent a year in Vietnam, and so kind of was able to touch a different part of the world that way. And I began to read biographies about China and the world, and God continued to lay the world in my heart, but especially China, with its 1.2 billion people, the far majority who have never even heard the gospel, much less are believers. Well, in October of 1995, I had the privilege of going on a trip through China to seven key cities. And I went with several dear people, Betsy Cunningham, some of you've met. I got to travel with her, and that was a real blessing. And I remember at our last city, leaving China, flying back to the United States, I had this unbelievable struggle going on in my life about, was I going to be faithful to pray for China? I mean, really seriously pray. And we were up high in the airplane and in the jet coming back, and, you know, I was grappling with this major battle going on in my life. And it was like the Lord was saying, will you pray even if you never go back to China? Will you pray even if you never get to talk to anyone who's been to China? Will you pray if nothing else happens, just because I'm asking you to pray? So I had this big struggle going on. You know, it's one thing to pray for something if a bunch of stuff is going around it. and you're energized to pray. You know, things are happening like in a Bible study group or something. It's another thing to pray and continue to pray if nothing is happening. But the Lord kind of took me through that in about an hour's time as I left China, and I came to the conviction and the response of my heart that I would pray for China. And I got back in early November and redid my prayer list and upgraded my reading on China and began to pray pretty much daily for China. I'm sure I missed a few days, but pretty much every day. Well, God opened a door for me to take a group back last summer, 9 students and myself, to the last city that we visited earlier. We went into this city and into a university where there was no believers, no Chinese believers. The reason we knew that was because our career M's that were on the field had been there for quite a while, and they really knew the lay of the land, and they said there are no believers here. It was a tough school, one of the 100 leading universities in China. The students are highly selected that go there. They're highly screened. They're highly monitored by the administration. And so here 10 of us show up to learn Chinese and to share the Lord. When we left, there was a band of committed disciples that had come to Christ in those 7 weeks we were there. And it was because of the answer to prayer. We had people all over the world praying for us. We had people in Africa praying for us. We had people in Glasgow, Scotland praying for us. We had people in many states in the U.S. praying for us. And God tore down the strongholds of Satan, and students responded. Let me share with you a couple of the conversion stories. The first one, the guy that came to know the Lord, his English name we gave him is David. And he, for 5 weeks, we loved him, played basketball with him, and he'd come over and sing and all that. But nothing was getting through to him. He said, well, it's kind of interesting about Jesus. But Robbie, one of our students, said, well, let me teach you a song before you leave. And pardon me. He shared this song. see the name of it. Let me take a drink here first. The song was I Will Worship. You know the song. David's heart was really broken over that song. And in a couple of days, he was coming to Christ. And that was the first conversion. The last one was a gal named, her English name was Stephanie. And Stephanie was around us the first couple of weeks. And then we kind of lost track of her. The last day that we were there, she came and said, I want to come to know Christ. I've been seeking for Him since I was 15, and no one has been here to tell me. And she came to know Christ. And we've heard from them and the other believers, and they're still doing well. And it's just an amazing story, not only of conversions, but the continuing growth of conversions. We're sending a team back this summer to follow up and to continue to work with these young believers. And we are so excited about it. I'm not going to be able to go personally. My son will get to go, and 11 other students. So God worked greatly in that city. Our teacher, her name was Wong Laosha, Teacher Wong. We called her Lydia. She wanted to be called Lydia, which I thought was a good name because God opened Lydia's heart when Paul came to Macedonia, as you remember. And we began to pray for her, and she said that she liked to read English books. So my wife, who came over the last couple of weeks we were there, brought her the Chronicles of Narnia. And, of course, she had never heard of C.S. Lewis or the Chronicles of Narnia. But we loved her well for 7 weeks. And right before we left, I gave her this gift, this package of the Chronicles, and you've seen this set of them. And she said, oh, I can't take this gift. It's too expensive. And I looked her right in the eye. She's a 28-year-old teacher. And I got as close as I felt cultural space would allow me. And I said, Lydia, I'm giving you this gift because you are worth it. And she has these big brown eyes, and they just kind of totally came alive. And I think for the first time in her life, she realized that we loved her well. And she just melted. And we had to leave 2 days later, and she came to see us off real, real early in the morning, and she was just weeping. And Chinese don't show their emotions very much. And she was just uncontrollably weeping over our leaving. I got a letter from her about a month ago saying that I'm not a Christian yet, but I'm really interested. And I heard from our career person on the field saying she is really close, and we're excited to see God bring her to Himself. We got to be with the underground pastor that shepherds this area where we were, and we snuck off. He went to a secret place, and we met together, and we spent 2 hours together, and we talked to him, and he said, we were asking him questions, and I said, well, what place does prayer have in your life? And there was this long pause, and he said, without prayer, we would die. And the 10 of us kind of reeled back. It was like being hit by a brick. And I don't know if you've ever heard anyone say anything like that, but he meant it. Maybe not physically being killed on the spot, but certainly his freedom's taken away, his children possibly taken away, his livelihood taken away, his kids never getting an education, him never getting a job. And he knew that without prayer, they would die. They would dry up spiritually. And, you know, he shared this with us and his wife, and then they left, and then about 30 minutes later, we left. And I was so challenged by his commitment to pray. And I'll tell you, the gospel is going forward in China and the other unreached countries of the world because people are praying. Let me tell you one other story about China, and then I've got to move on here real quick. My first trip over there, I met a young woman named Gao Chu. She's totally crippled. She had polio when she was real young, and she to get around, she scoots around on her bottom with her hands because her legs just fold up under her. They're real little. And I met her, and I spent 20 minutes with her. In Xi'an, China. And she had just become a Christian through reading a copy of Johnny Erickson's first book, a Mandarin translation of Johnny Erickson's first book. And when I left Xi'an, I thought, God, I'm going to pray for this young woman. I'll probably never see her again, but I will pray for her. Because she was so radiant and so longed for God to use her. And so I began to pray for her almost daily. When I got home, I wrote Johnny Erickson and told her about this gal becoming a Christian, and Johnny writes me back and was so thrilled to hear this and all that. And so when we went to China last summer, it worked out that we could go by Xi'an for 4 days. And I asked the career missionary in Xi'an if we could get together with Gao Chu, and he said he'd try to work it out. And we spent an evening with her, and I remember coming in and seeing her. She was on the floor and getting down on my knees and coming up and hugging her, and she knew I'd been praying for her because Dave had told her. When I got back from China, I wrote Johnny Erickson again and told her the story, more story about Gao Chu, and asked Johnny to write her a personal letter. And Johnny did, a beautiful letter to this gal, and sent one of her videotapes and an audio tape, and I sent those to Hong Kong for a missionary to hand carry it in because I didn't want it pilfered. And they gave it to her on her birthday. And she, if you can imagine this girl who had come to Christ through reading Johnny's book, getting this personal letter from her. And you know, that was just the answer to prayer. God just worked that out. And God wants to do great and mighty things in your life. He is an awesome God. And He will do it if you'll believe Him for it. Let me tell you how God can turn sorrow into joy. I told you about Jessica this morning, 17 years old. Well, she turned in front of a car about half a year ago, and it was her fault, and our car was totaled. I just dropped the collision insurance on it. It was an 88 Toyota, $3,700, so we drug it to the junkyard, or the wrecker did. She was so disappointed. She just started driving, just wasn't thinking. Some of you have done the same thing. And I was, you know, trying to comfort her, and she was sad, and we were back to one car family and all that, and you know, that's a hassle when you have a bunch of kids at home. But I went out to the junkyard to get the stereo deck out of the car. And on my way out, we had prayed and committed to God that maybe God could bring good from this. And we really believed God for it. I prayed for Jessica. And I prayed for my attitude also, because the junkyard guy said he'd give me $110 for the whole car. And I thought, man, it still had a good engine in it. I mean, it was a neat car. It just had $3,700 damage. And I was really upset. So on my way out to the junkyard, I got my attitude right with God. I said, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. And will you bring good from this wreck? Got to the junkyard, and he said, well, I'll have this guy come down and pull the deck out for you. So a guy named Dave Beard, who also drove the wrecker, went down and pulled the deck out for me. To make a long story short, I shared the gospel with Dave. He started coming to church. He drinks beer and likes to shoot pool, so I'd go with him to Fast Eddie's. And I'm really good at pool now. I didn't drink beer, but I can shoot good pool, so I'll take you on. And Dave helped me with my pool, and I continued to share the Lord with him. And Dave became a Christian about 6 weeks ago, and he's going to be baptized, I think, next week. And was it worth $3,700 or worth that Toyota? Oh, yeah. And Jessica and I just rejoice over God turning a joy or a sorrow into a joy. And God can do that in your life, too. You have sorrows all the time. Let me give you another one. A dear young woman in our ministry was terribly abused growing up, sexually abused. And she became a Christian. This is a tough story for me to tell, but I'll try to do it. She became a Christian when she was 17, and really trusted the church that she was involved in her youth director. On her 18th birthday, her youth director sexually abused her. And this is, she had no trust for men and finally put her trust in this youth director, who is not a young guy, who is an older guy, and he sexually abused her on her birthday. Now, that's a pretty rough picture. Well, this gal began to let people love her in the Lord. And I was praying. I was saying, God, you can turn her life around. You can bring love and trust and healing where there just isn't any. And God has done it. At Passion 97, I know she stood up when Dennis Jernigan sang for the gals. And I came up to her afterwards and I said, I got two kinds of tears. One are for the sorrow I have for what you've been through, but also tears of such joy in the healing God's done in your life. And she's gotten through such a healing time because she's turned to God and people have loved her. And God can do it in your life too and in your friends. He's a great and an awesome God if we'll believe Him. He does answer prayer. Let me give you one or two more stories here and I'll be through. I know you got to have a break here. We have another gal. Our ministry isn't like this all the time. When you have to pull out stories to tell, illustrations, it kind of makes things look really dramatic. I remember when I saw the movie Platoon years ago about Vietnam. And I mean, to condense a whole year term in 2 hours is really, really tough. And to condense these stories, it makes it seem like our ministry is more dramatic than it is. Most days are just kind of get up, love God, you know, encourage people along, you know, go to bed, that type of thing. But this one young woman had literally sold her life to Satan. She had made a pact with Satan when she was a junior high student. Her parents didn't love her, and so she started reading science fiction books and magic books as a junior high student. And made a pact with Satan. She poured some of her blood out and all this stuff. And she came to Christ, but had a real stronghold that the devil wouldn't give up in her life. And And I sensed something was coming here, and I kept backpedaling on it, and I got with her about a couple years ago, and we prayed some, and I shared some verses and encouraged her to read a book or two. Well, a year later, she said, "You know, I'm still struggling with this. I still have such an unbelievable fascination with my own blood, and there's other things that I just can't get a hold of." And so I said, "Okay, let's get two or three friends, and we're going to really pray for you." Well, I went to this, we met, and I remember driving over to where we were going to pray for, and I thought, "God, now I am out of my league on this one here. I mean, I guarantee," and it was like God said, "I know you are. You're just where I want you. You're in the perfect spot here. You're totally incapable of doing anything." And so God and I were on the right frequency on this one. And we began to pray, and God totally set her free. It was somewhat bizarre in certain ways. But this gal today, she said she could never worship before. And now she worships. She loves God. She has been set free. And this was a year ago. You know, the test on these deals is how it goes month after month after month after month. You can have a flash in the pan on deals, but the test is a year later, 2 years later. This gal is having a great ministry. She is set free, and God did it. And God can touch your life, too. And now, I want to tell you, that's the only one of these deliverance deals I've ever had. And I'm not looking. I have no shingle hanging out to do them, quite frankly, because they're really hard. But God can do anything. He's great and mighty and awesome. Let me share one more and then I'll close. A couple years ago, I felt that our gang at K-State really needed a new touch from God, whatever you want to call it. I thought we were just kind of hanging out, going through the motions with our Thursday night meetings. And so I began to pray that God would do a great work in our lives. And I had heard about some of the things that had happened at Wheaton and some other schools. And one Friday night, there was about 35 students that had met just to brainstorm about the next year and to pray some. And I shared with the gang the verse James 5:16, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." And I said, "You know, I don't know if there's anyone here, but God may want you to confess before the group something." And I didn't put any pressure on them, and I sit down, and, you know, it was kind of a long pause, and I was getting ready to get back up and say, "Well, maybe another time." But this young sophomore girl got up, and she said, "You know, I've been living a complete lie before you all. You all think I'm this perfect Christian gal, and I want to tell you, I have been defeated. I have been morally defeated in the last year, and I come before you to ask you to forgive me for living such a lie before you." Well, 4 or 5 hours later, that meeting ended. And again, the test of a lot of things is what happens down the road. We are still reaping the fruit of the honesty and the confession of those students that night. Our whole ministry changed. There's a new dynamic in worship, a new hunger for Bible study leaders, a new hunger for witnessing. We've seen kids come to Christ more so this past year than any years in a long time, because God brought authenticity and honesty to our students. And it was because we prayed. We asked God to do it. And so, in closing, I just want to encourage you with Jeremiah 33:3. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." God is a God who answers prayer. And we're all on the same ground with that. It has nothing to do with spiritual gifts. It has nothing to do with ability. It has nothing to do with if you can sing. God, we're all on the same table with prayer. It's God's gift to all of us if we will humble ourselves before Him and come to Him and seek His face and seek His Word. He will hear and He'll answer. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for the privilege of being together, and thank You for giving us the gift of prayer. Lord, thank You that You call us to pray, and I ask for my life and each one here that we would be faithful men and women of prayer to believe You for great and mighty things. God, You want to so touch our lives and touch the world as we offer up to you prayer and praise. Lord, may we be faithful in this. In Jesus' name, amen.